Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 113 at 22,775. And yes, that is a record high close for the Dow Industrials. You can celebrate with milk and cookies or however you wish. We're kind of celebrated out here. S&P 500 up 14 at 2,552, a record high close. NASDAQ Composite up 50 at 6,585. That's a record high close. Russell 2000 small and mid caps up 4 at 1,512. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 2 basis points at 2.35%. Oil up 78 cents at $50.76 per barrel. Gold down $6.80 at $1,268.80 per ounce. Well, a lot of records on Wall Street today. This is the second longest bull market ever, trailing only the 1990 through 2000 run during the dot-com era. Today was the eighth straight gain in the S&P 500. That's the longest winning streak for the S&P since 2013. The S&P 500 also had its sixth straight record close. That's the longest streak since 1997. The S&P 500 is on track for its ninth consecutive winning year, tying the record from 1991 through 1999. It's been more than a year since the S&P 500 fell as much as 5% from a previous high. It's the fifth longest period without such a correction. The NASDAQ also on an eight-day winning streak. The Russell 2000 was just a fraction off the record high from Tuesday. Just a fraction. The VIX, the volatility index, sometimes known as the fear gauge, has closed below 10 for the seventh straight day, already making this the least volatile October in the history of the fear gauge. Now, you might say that this just means the market is overextended and overdue for a pullback. Yeah, you might say that. The House narrowly passed a $4.1 trillion budget. $4.1 trillion. The final tally was 219 to 206. More than a dozen Republicans voted with Democrats against the budget, objecting to elements of the spending package or to parts of the tax reform proposal. The budget contains $1.1 trillion in non-entitlement spending, including nearly $622 billion on defense. The Senate is voting on a similar measure. When both chambers pass their respective budget resolutions, it would trigger a legislative process known as reconciliation, during which they could pass a sweeping tax reform bill with a simple majority of 51 votes in the Senate instead of the usual 60-vote requirement. That doesn't mean that tax reform will be easy. There are already disagreements over how much to cut certain tax rates, which deductions could be eliminated, and whether the tax reform package would be revenue neutral. Look for a pretty big fight over the elimination of state and local tax deductions. The number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits dropped 12,000 to a seasonally adjusted 260,000 for the week ended September 30th. Labor Department's closely watched employment report tomorrow will likely show that non-farm payrolls increased by 90,000 jobs last month, after rising by 156,000 in August. Actually, we say 90,000, nobody knows. The estimates are all over the place because no one is sure exactly what impact the hurricanes had on jobs. Meanwhile, Commerce Department said the trade gap declined 2.7% to $42.4 billion. That's the smallest since September 2016. When adjusted for inflation, the trade deficit was little changed at $61.8 billion. The so-called real trade deficit average for July and August was below the second quarter average of $62.4 billion. That suggests trade could contribute to gross domestic product in the third quarter, help to soften the economic blow of the hurricanes, which are expected to cut at least 0.6 percentage point from GDP economic growth in the third quarter. In another report, Commerce Department said orders for non-defense capital goods, excluding aircraft, now this is seen as a measure of business spending plans, orders up 1.1% in August instead of the 0.9% increase reported last month. Shipments of so-called core capital goods, which are used to calculate business equipment spending in the gross domestic report, shot up 1.1% instead of the previously reported 0.7% rise. Strong business spending on equipment is helping to underpin manufacturing. Business investment in equipment grew at its fastest pace in nearly 2 years in the second quarter. The National Rifle Association announced it will support additional regulations on devices that boost semi-automatic weapons firing rates, like the tools used by the shooter in the Las Vegas massacre. In a statement, the NRA urged the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives to review the legality of so-called bump stocks. They stopped short of pushing Congress to pass a bill banning or regulating the devices. Now, it's always a little bit surprising to see the NRA support restrictions, but it was the least they could do. Really, this was the least they could do. Anything less would have been nothing. Russian government hackers stole information on how the U.S. infiltrates foreign computers and defends itself against cyber attack. The information was stolen from an NSA contractor who was using antivirus software made by Russia-based Kaspersky Lab, which was how the hackers were able to target the contractor. The incident occurred in 2015 but wasn't uncovered until last year. Spain's Constitutional Court has ordered the suspension of Monday's session of the regional Catalan Parliament, throwing into doubt its plans to declare unilateral independence from Spain. The Speaker of the Catalan Parliament accused the Madrid government of using the courts to deal with political problems and said the regional assembly would not be censored. But, she said, parliamentary leaders had not yet decided whether to defy the central court and go ahead with the session. Secessionist Catalan politicians have pledged to unilaterally declare independence at Monday's session after last Sunday's referendum, banned by Madrid and marked by violent scenes where Spanish police tried to stop voting. California Governor Jerry Brown has signed sanctuary state legislation, extending protections for immigrants living in the United States illegally, a move that gives the nation's most populous state another tool to fight President Trump. Brown's signature means that police will be barred from asking people about their immigration status or participating in federal immigration enforcement activities starting January 1st. Jail officials only will be allowed to transfer inmates to federal immigration authorities if they have been convicted of certain crimes. The measure came in response to widespread fear in immigrant communities following Trump's election. Among other things, the other bills signed today by Brown will limit federal immigration authorities from entering schools and workplaces without warrants, prohibit landlords from reporting tenants to ICE, and stop local governments from contracting with for-profit companies and ICE to hold immigrants. Some law enforcement officials say the impact of the sanctuary measure likely will be minimal because it bans immigration enforcement activities that few agencies actually participate in. The bill does not prohibit ICE from operating in California. Stranger Things will cost more. Netflix will now charge $11 per month instead of $10 for a plan that includes HD and allows people to simultaneously watch programs on two different internet-connected devices. The price for another plan that includes ultra-high definition or 4K video going up by 17% to $14 from $12 a month. A plan that limits subscribers to one screen at a time without high def will remain at $8 a month. The increase, the first in 2 years for Netflix, although it seems like it's not that long, at least for millions of subscribers, that's because Netflix temporarily froze its rates for longtime subscribers the last two times it raised its prices, delaying the most recent increases until the second half of last year for them. Netflix isn't giving anyone a break this time around. A new program called Seller Flex would allow more items on Amazon, even those sold by third parties, to be listed with the Prime badge for two-day shipping. Amazon itself will handle the pickup of packages from sellers. In some cases, it will also handle deliveries to customers, eliminating the major delivery partners of UPS and FedEx. Shares of UPS and FedEx were initially hit after the report about competition from Amazon. FedEx ultimately closed a fraction of a point higher. UPS recovered to close down 0.7%. UPS says that no customer constitutes 10% of its revenue. FedEx says no one constitutes 3% of its revenue. So while there is exposure to Amazon, it's not make or break. Amazon is prudently cherry-picking areas with dense delivery cities and will probably still leave rural delivery up to other companies. Meanwhile, Amazon could also take years to establish its new service, but it's coming. Amazon hasn't taken over the world, not yet. 2/3 of Amazon's revenue comes from sales in the U.S. Amazon Prime is available in a dozen or so other countries, but it's not big in many of them. The biggest global prize, India, where Amazon has pledged to spend $5 billion to break into what many tech companies see as a future gold mine. Tonight, a full moon you'll see ascending in the east after sunset. It's the Northern Hemisphere's harvest moon. Over the years, we've seen lots of informal uses of the term harvest moon. Some people call the full moons of September and October by that name, and that's fine, whatever you call it. Enjoy. Dow Industrials up 113 at 22,775. S&P 500 up 14 at 25,52. NASDAQ up 50 at 65,85. Records all around. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog, eatthebankers.com.